Spiritual Life Center.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, good morning once again, and welcome to week 6 of our Faith in Action series, The Universe is Calling. Indeed, that calling is from and to the center of our heart, as we were just hearing. It's to the center of my heart and your heart as we listen and hear the silence. And as we listen and hear the silence, we will be guided in a way that will realize that Christ presence that is within all of us. Realization of the Christ is our topic for the day. And this power is summed up in the scriptural reference that says in Colossians, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed, now manifest, it says. And that is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I know that for many, the Christ is a trigger word, and not necessarily in a good way. You know, like me, you may have been on the receiving end of maybe what I would call religious abuse of the word as you were growing up, as I was growing up, in which you may have been told that, well, if you don't follow Jesus the Christ, if you don't follow this way, this Christ presence, this Christ person, then you will be relegated to a place that you do not want to be. And you'll be there forever. And of course, forever is a long time. But eventually we come to the understanding that Christ is not a person. It is a principle. It is that part of God, or the force, as I like to call it, that is within everyone. And it is changeless. It is eternal. It cannot be hurt. It cannot be harmed. It cannot be endangered in any way, shape, or form. And if you have an allergic reaction to the word, here's what I suggest. Substitute it with another word or another phrase. You can call it the Atman presence. You can call it the Buddhic mind. You can call it the divine self, the divinity within, the force. It does not matter what we call it. Our job, our purpose is to call it as the activity of our consciousness, because it's our true self. And it's not limited to any particular spiritual or religious path. I remember one time I was hanging out with some guys, remember years ago, I was early in Unity. After a while, they were talking, they found out what I did, and they happened to be Muslims at the time, which is doesn't really matter except for this story. But when I told them what I did, they were looking at me somewhat suspiciously. And then one of them asked me, well, are you a Christian? And of course, I kind of knew what they were talking about, because they may have thought that I was going to try to proselytize them into a different belief. And what I said was, well, I follow the teachings of Jesus. And they said, oh, you follow the book. In other words, they were letting me know that all of us were following universal principles that have been taught by the masters, principles that serve as the golden thread that is part of every life-affirming spiritual path. You know, that experience reminds me of a question posed by one of my teachers a spiritual teacher. And the question was, if Jesus was sitting at a table with a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim, or maybe a Zoroastrian, a Shintoist, do you think he would turn to them and say, well, you all must forsake your beliefs and accept mine? You know, there was no Christianity at the time, so he probably wouldn't say Christianity. But anyway, I would say that I do not believe Jesus would take such a stance, because I believe that he came into this world in order to free humanity from formal doctrinal religion. He taught spiritual principles that anyone, regardless of what path they have chosen, or if they have no particular spiritual or religious path at all, he can let them know that they can apply these principles to their life. And ultimately, when we apply these principles to our life, it's all about the realization of the Christ presence, by whatever name you happen to call it. You know, it bears repeating, because this is the key to what we want to get through today, that there is a distinction between Jesus, the man, and the Christ presence. Understand that the Christ is what Jesus discovered within himself. And as a result of that discovery, he fulfilled his spiritual potential like no other person before or since. Well, here's what he said to all of us. All the things I have done, you can do as well. Because like he, we can go to that presence, to that Father presence that he talked about. So our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to realize that same power that is within him is also within us. And the challenge for us is this. Over the years, many people have emphasized Jesus' divinity and that somehow Jesus may have received a special dispensation from the presence of God. And this gave him a unique and separate way of being that's apart from the rest of all humanity. And ultimately, that is the theology about Jesus, about the personality, which is very distinct from the teachings from which he came from. Understand there are two different approaches concerning this person that we know as Jesus. There are some teachings about Jesus' life, Jesus the man, Jesus the Savior, and it's okay to have that. But there are also teachings that are about what he brought that we should embody to transform our life. And when we begin to do that, we realize our Christ presence. So this is what we are talking about today. You know, Jesus, I believe his most vital mission on earth was to help humanity realize the Christ presence within themselves, within ourselves, that many individuals, many folks perhaps have been unaware of, even though it's available to them in plain sight. You know, there's a Hindu legend that makes reference to this. And it's about the time that all men were gods, according to this legend. But they so abused their power that Brahma, the chief god, decided to take away that power and hide it so they would no longer find it. And so here's the issue that was facing them. Where were they going to hide it? And so he called in the lesser gods, who I guess are his advisors, and they decided to have a meeting. And they were going to consider this question. Where were they going to hide this power? And one of the lesser gods, the advisors, said, well, we'll bury it deep on the earth. And Brahma said, nah, humanity will dig deep down in the earth and they'll find it. And then a second advisor came along and said, you know, I know what we'll do. We'll sink their divinity in the deepest ocean. And Brahma said, no, you know, humanity will learn to dive to the deepest waters and they'll search the ocean beds and they'll surely find it. And the third one said, well, I know what we'll do to hide it from them. We will have it at the highest possible mountain on earth. And of course, you know, the lesser God said that we know they won't find it there. But of course, Brahma said, you know, I don't think there's anywhere we can hide it because you're saying they'll still find it. We don't know where we can hide it, where there's no place on earth, the sea, that human beings will not eventually find their divinity and misuse it again. And then Brahma said, here's what we will do. We will take their divinity and we will hide it deep within them. And they will never think to look for it there. And ever since that time, according to the legend, human beings have been digging, diving, climbing, and exploring, searching for something that was already within them. And what that is the Christ in you and me. That is that hope of glory that scripture referred to. That is something that is readily available. And so the question for us today is how do we realize, how do we activate this Christ presence that is within us? Well, as I say from time to time, there's never any definitive how-tos to do this spiritual work. But there are strategies to help tease it out because we really don't do it. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. But the strategies that we can employ include going on an inner journey in order to discover that power that is within us. Understand there's a call going out from the universe, and it's calling us to enter into an adventure of inner space and explore and research the dynamic truth of our inner being. You know, for years now, you know, half a century or more, human beings have researched and explored outer space. And that's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. I think it's reaped us many insights, many revelations, lots of ways to heal us and brought forth technology. But the real research and development project is an exploration, is an adventure to explore the depths of our being. And the depth of our being is inexhaustible. The depth of our being is unlimited. It is an exploration of the name and the nature of the Spirit of the living God itself. So understand the key word that comes to mind in that whole process is adventure. When you feel and think into the word adventure, here's what we do. We understand that an adventure carries us into the depths of our own being. We're not searching for anything outside of ourselves. It is already here because what's outside of ourselves is a reflection of what's going on within ourselves. And what's in ourselves releases life energy. You know, adventure is a word that denotes some kind of transformation based on the exploration that we're engaging in. Understand, when we study our heroes and heroines throughout the ages and the great myths and wonderful stories that we read about in the Bible, or the great mythic tales of every culture, you know, modern days, we might look at Star Wars as a mythic tale. We can look at the Odyssey as a mythic tale, or many others that talk about the adventure that they go on. We will discover that whenever the individual goes on an adventure, they discover hidden resources within their being, within their soul, that was heretofore unrealized. You know, when we go on an adventure, and when they go on an adventure, it may have taken them into the far country, but ultimately to overcome and slay the demons that they're facing in their life, in their own soul, they all have to go within and release a life energy. And when they do that, they become changed, they become renewed, and they be transformed by the renewing of their mind. You know, in our own life, individually and collectively, you know, we face challenges in our human experience. But here's the thing. the challenges and the demands that confront us are not given to us to solve with our own might and power. The demands that are given to us are on the Christ presence within so that we may witness how our true power will show up. When I was in ministerial school in Solid Unity, which is in Unity Village, Missouri, they would have this service every week at Silent Unity. If you ever called, it's always great to call when you have a challenge. And they would always start out the service with these words: "It is not I, but the Christ within who does the work." And we were reminded that this adventure that we are on is about the development of a childlike awareness. You know, as Jesus used to say, you know, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is ever expanding good, and not be stuck in your perception and opinion, you must be like a little child. We must be open and receptive. And so when we're exploring in the way that we explore that inner self, we're becoming available to be transformed based upon insight, based upon that childlike openness and that childlike creativity, that childlike inquisitiveness. In other words, we're saying there is a call that is going on for us to go on an adventure to that inner journey and redirect our interest from anything outside of us to the power that is within us. Because we discover that that which is within us is far more powerful and greater than anything that is in the outside world. And we have absolute control over that. So we are here to practice spiritual principles like never before. And if we do, our true self, known as the Christ self, the divine self, will emerge. So what are some of the things we can do to discover and express that inner power that's geared toward raising our awareness, raising our consciousness? Well, one practice that we talked about last week and through this whole series in some way, shape, or form is that we have to stay prayed up. And staying prayed up includes not thinking about our problems all the time and thinking about the power and the presence and the love of God. Because when we focus on problems, that's all that we will see. But behind the apparent problems, there are always opportunities waiting to be embraced. We are surrounded by these opportunities all the time, and they're merely waiting for a consciousness that's big enough, bold enough, and to claim it. This helps us to remember what true prayer is. And we're reinforcing this because we want this to be part of our way of being. We realize that prayer is not a mere supplication. Prayer is not begging and wailing or gnashing of teeth. It's not about pleading or screaming in a loud voice. It's not trying to get God to be different. God cannot change. It's changeless. No, it's not about any of that. It's not hoping and sweating and gyrating and trying to get the universe to shift for us. We understand real prayer, as Jesus the Christ indicated, is getting in touch with the awareness that you already have what you are praying for. As that statement says, "Before they call, I have already answered you. It is done." So we pray believing that we have, that we may receive. Now here's a powerful practice to help you realize the power that's within you and all of us. From time to time, observe your thoughts and ask, do these thoughts come from the realm of infinite possibility? Or do these thoughts come from the sea of limitation? And if you recognize that they come from a sea of limitation, it is time to think again. That's what repent means. It means to think again. And so we think again and we aim higher. We think bigger. We act bolder. and the universe will support us along the way. You know, in the same vein, to realize the power that is within us, that Christ's presence within us, we must capture and be captured by a God-inspired vision, a God-inspired mission for our life. You know, as we practice lowly listening, and a lot of listening is important in our spiritual work, as we begin to practice what we call affirmative prayer, as we go deep into that practice of meditation, as we fast from the thoughts of the world, the low vibration thoughts of the world, and feast on the divine ideas of pure spirit, we begin to let go of control. We begin to avail ourselves to a tremendous vision for our life, individually and collectively. A vision of greatness that is trying to happen in your life, in my life, so the transformational power of the Christ within can operate on us. We let it have its way with us. And when we do, a great and extraordinary thing can begin to happen. Things can happen beyond our wildest imaginings, beyond the limitations of our present thinking, because its thinking is way beyond what we think on a human level. And when we allow ourselves to be guided by this, extraordinary things begin to happen in our life. And that's it. That's what happens when we begin to capture a vision. It changes us. It expands us. It puts us in alignment with the way it is. You know, many years ago, I was at a conference, and they were giving out awards to people who had done great things in their communities. And I remember one woman who was sitting at my table who was going to receive an award, and she got up and talked about her story. She had been in an abusive relationship and had to leave her home, and there was someone who took her in and gave her shelter and really nursed her back to life and to wholeness. And she always had this desire to create a holistic shelter for, you know, women who had been in her same kind of position. But, you know, she didn't have very much education. She really didn't have any money. But she held that vision of having this magnificent place that would be out in the country with lots of land and just a place where people just could feel free and unencumbered. And nothing seemed to happen, but she never let that vision leave her. And she said she was waiting in a restaurant as a waitress at the time. And she noticed a gentleman there that had come there. He looked a little disheveled and, you know, a little nondescript, nothing normal, unusual about him, except she noticed that he had on some really, really nice shoes. And for some reason, she was guided by something within her just to go up and talk to the man. And as they got into a conversation, she started talking about her vision, her dream, what she wanted to create for these women. And the gentleman said, well, it just so happens, you know, my family has this trust, and we're trying to figure out ways that we can give away money for people who want to do great things. And to make a long story short, as a result of her holding that vision and sharing that with that gentleman that she did not know, she ended up getting $250,000 as seed money to start her vision and dream. You know, it went beyond the limits of what she thought she could do when she tapped into that vision. It went beyond her perceived limitations. It may have pushed her into uncharted territories to follow an instinct within her that for some reason she doesn't even know why she did it. But what happens when we follow that vision, we capture the divine ideas of spirit. And those divine ideas may show up in different forms, but behind the form, there is love. There is peace. There's harmony. There's generosity. There's forgiveness. There's beauty. And all the qualities begin to move through us in a creative way. When we turn within to a great vision, the Christ presence will show up for it to happen in a way that we may not have understood. We just have to be ready to capture that larger vision for our life. And as we are ready for it, we activate that presence within us. I believe this is the same thing we need to do to heal our country and to heal our world for that matter, to capture a vision that's bigger than what we think we can do so the Christ presence can take us over. You know, understand this powerful presence is even more potent when two or more come together in the same Christ consciousness. You know, Eric Butterworth in his book and in our reading this week calls it the swarm. And is based upon the statement that whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, I am among them. And they're not talking about a person. They're talking about the nature of the Christ presence. And whenever people come together in the same nature, that which they have agreed upon, that which they have touched and agreed upon, cannot help but clothe itself. In other words, as it says in those scriptural references, the word becomes flesh. It cannot help but manifest. It cannot help but be multiplied. It cannot help but be expressed. There is a power in two or more. You know, long ago in military history, they talk about the time there were some leaders, military leaders. And those leaders learned not to march armies in cadence across bridges whenever they came up to a bridge. Because when they came up to the bridge, they were told to stop marching and have the soldiers walk across the bridge one soldier at a time. Because they found that if the soldiers marched in unison, a vibration would build up and shake the bridge off its foundation. That is the power of two or more. You know that, you know, science has shown that as individuals who are dedicated to prayer, who are dedicated to meditation, and are holding a space of forgiveness and love and connection to God, their mental units of energy, their thoughts are 1,000 times more powerful than a person living in a consciousness of separation. Person living in a consciousness of hate or consciousness of malice or jealousy or living in a consciousness of lack or limitation, worry, doubt, or fear. That individual who is saturated with the love of this pure spirit, who's saturated and aligned with the Christ presence within them, their thoughts are many times more powerful than someone living in a life of separation. And there's a lot of separation that we see in our world today. But we must understand that when one is one with the presence of God, that is a majority. There can be 20 people in worry or doubt or fear or limitation or worry about this or worry about that. The ups and downs of the economic cycles, the conflicts and the sense of separation. And they will have their experience. Yet one individual connected with God can be a majority consciousness. One who's connected with their Christ presence can be that majority consciousness because their thoughts are 1,000 times more potent than the thoughts of lack, the thoughts of limitation, the thoughts of scarcity. But now add this to it. One with God is a majority. Yes, that's true. But two or more gathered in my name and nature is a unanimous field of awareness. In other words, if you get two or more gathered in the same consciousness coming from the Christ presence within them, it creates a potent field that neutralizes any field of negativity that seems to have temporary power over us or over our world. We are creating a field of potency that Eric Butterworth talked about that becomes the conditions for the vision that is seeking to manifest itself on earth at this time. Understand, it's not about numbers. You only need two or more. It is about a state of consciousness. And when that state of consciousness is there, then that seed thought of the Christ presence within your soul and that seed idea of a world that works for everyone cannot help but manifest on earth as it is in the mind of God. Now that is good news. That is powerful news to help you and me become instruments of the Spirit of the living God. That's what the realization of the Christ presence is all about. It's in each and every one of us. And so I'm going to leave you today with our affirmation for the week. Take this in to help activate that Christ presence within you. Say it to yourself throughout the week. And our affirmation is as follows. I am a great listener. I hear the universe calling. I am an instrument of love and truth. And so it is. Go forth and realize the power of the force within you. Peace and blessings.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center.